Hello, everyone out there. This is Trevor with Tea Time Reports. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode. It's greatly appreciated for all the support. We have a lot to talk about in this episode. I'm joined here with Caden today. You know, the big headline is clearly the Los Angeles fires right now. I think the damage count, like in terms of dollar amount, is upwards of like $150 billion in damages.
It was 23 confirmed deaths.
Yeah, and then like also you have to, but with those 23 confirmed dead, like also consider the fact that there's probably dozens of people unaccounted for as well, like just disappear. I mean, there's tons of wooded areas and such, obviously, but it's also just kind of concerning about how you know, the fire department handled everything, how California's government as a whole handled everything, but. Mm-hmm. And well, that's kind of the big topic of discussion today, and we'll have some other little stuff here and there. But yeah, I mean, millions of people are going to be displaced, lose everything they own, and I guess the most important thing to say is like our thoughts and prayers, you know, go out to anyone affected directly or kind of like parallel wise too.
Here's the good thing, and I'm not saying this is, you know, there's anything distinctly good about this happening, but this isn't really happening to a lot of poor people. You know, people who, when they lose this is everything they have. You know what I mean? These are $8 million houses. These are, you know, multi-million dollar houses. Like, most of them were. So that's kind of a good thing that it happened to a percentile of people who can definitely recover from this. But, yeah, again, the way that California as a whole, I'm not talking about the people, but the whole government and everything about the whole situation, the way it was controlled, everything is just honestly unbelievable. It honestly is unbelievable.
ATF and arson investigators are combing through portions of the Skull Rock Trail in Pacific Palisades, California. This is believed to be close to the origins of the Palisades fire. There's also just stuff that you're hearing and kind of seeing videos like come out about like these crackheads or these illegal immigrants starting the fires. Like I saw this one video of this guy like coming out of a shipping container and like the dude filming is like, "What the fuck are you doing? What the hell are you doing?" And then he opens up the door and there was a massive blaze in there.
Oh my God.
This guy just started a fire and
pyromania.
A bunch of guys beat the hell out of him on the street. So,
oh shit.
Respectably, yeah. If you're just causing arson, you're kind of a piece of shit. Like, you're a low life form. Like, I don't know, but you also got to take into account a lot of the, water reservoirs were empty too. People were talking about like the amount that the amount of donations and like how much funding has come from California to go to like support foreign endeavors. Like when someone calculated all the taxpayer dollars over the past year last year, and it was a couple billion dollars that went to Ukraine instead of going to the water reserves in California.
Which honestly is completely asinine, because why do we even have a federal government? Like first of all, I don't even like sending money to Ukraine or Israel or anything like that. But if you are gonna send money there, why is a state doing that? Why isn't that just federal government? A state should be worried on its people and its people only. You know, it shouldn't be worrying about a country that's at war with two countries that we have no direct affiliation with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No.
Makes no fucking sense.
It doesn't make sense where the money is going.
And the fact that not only money, but this is the kicker. Firefighter equipment was donated to Ukraine.
Yeah, canvas bags.
California. Why is the one state in America that is the most susceptible to fires, and the place, legit the fire capital of America, why is that the state giving away firefighter gear and going through DEI, which is diversity, equity, and inclusion, right?
Yeah.
Equality and inclusion, something like that. Literally they cut costs on actual like firefighter needs to appeal to have more diversity. Like, there are three different, I think there's like three fire lieutenants that are trans in the LA County Fire Department. Do you know the chances of that?
Not like slim to none.
1 in 64,000.
Yeah, that's insane.
That's pretty much zero.
But I mean, you can get into that conversation.
Those people were not hired because they were good at their job.
No, no.
Those people were not. They were pushed by that DEI cost cuts and reevaluation of the fire department by California. It's just completely asinine and again, unbelievable.
And the fire also is threatening a population of steelhead trout in the Santa Monica Mountains. Thousands of different species are probably going to be affected and probably pushed to like near extinction and as well. Like, people aren't thinking about that or those kind of ramifications. But it's really just sad. It's incompetence. You know, we haven't seen something like this happen. I mean, especially the videos coming out of like LA, like of the fire and shit. Like, it looks like that opening scene from Fallout, the show. Like, an actual nuke or something went off. It just doesn't look like it's a real place. Mm-hmm. Like, but like, that's like, it's only in those liberal and like far gone run places. Like, at the end of the day, like, all these people elected the officials that let them down. Mm-hmm. Like, you did, like, in a sense, inadvertently kind of created this problem yourselves. Yeah. And like, now are feeling the heat literally and, you know, metaphorically. But
you know what's crazy as well? California was not always like this. It wasn't always susceptible to fires because, especially when you look at the geography of California, this isn't a landlocked state. This is a state with water up and down. And it used to be, like, where LA is, almost that entire kind of section used to be a big-ass lake. It was one of the Great Lakes. And we drained it. And now where the bed is where LA is, where tons and tons of farmland is. But that absence of water made LA, like, that, not even LA, all of California, that much like worse and dry and just completely unnatural. So unnatural shit's gonna happen there, you know?
Yeah.
So I think just historically California has just been a massive fuck up on human sides.
Yeah. No, you know, I mean,
fuck left, right, human beings. Like, it's just been a massive fucking failure.
No, you're not wrong. I mean, it's just incompetence, and it's killing people. It's destroying, like you said, this state that was kind of naturally beautiful, and now it's literally on fire. People were also talking about like the Golden Globe ceremony and how Nikki Glaser was mocking God 3 days prior to the start of the fire too. Like, she was like, and I quote something along the lines of like, yeah, look at this godless town. Like, it is fucking godless. And
you know what Sodom and Gomorrah is?
No.
So there's a story in the Bible called Sodom and Gomorrah, and it's about two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. And
from year one, bro.
Plagued, it's in the movie Year One. But plagued by wickedness and sin, and they were punished by God by massive fires, plagues. Like, the whole city just got destroyed. I hate to make that comparison when we're talking about real life human beings that's happening like right now, but I mean, man, it's hard not to see that parallel.
Multiple lawsuits have been filed on behalf of the Eaton Fire victims that claim equipment owned by the Southern California Edison sparked the deadly blaze. So like, does anyone know, like, where this fire originated from? Because that's what I'm getting. Like, no one actually knows. Was this, like, a... Because then I'm just questioning, like, this is the same shit in Maui, and it's funny because investors have already come in buying the land. Mm. Just same thing in Maui, and Newsom's already proposing to get that plan moving, like, faster, to sell this land and get it rezoned. So
Most of those lands are privately owned.
Well, no, like, after a disaster...
It's still yours.
I don't know if you like, because they come in, FEMA comes in. Like, I don't know
it's
if like.
It's still yours, though. That, those plots, if you still have a.
Well, I mean, like, people are going to sell. Like people, yeah, like, yeah, this probably. Is a situation where you are like legitimately forced to sell if you cannot rebuild.
Yeah.
Because like
but you said at the beginning, it's not just one percenters though.
But it's different from Maui. Thousands of regular people lost their homes. Yeah, like people, like just regular blue collar workers.
Regular blue collar workers in California are still rich.
I don't know.
Almost the median cost of those homes.
It's different because if they took that money that they make there and brought it over here, they'd make the same amount and live in the same tax bracket here.
The median was $1 million. Just even no matter what. No matter what state you're living in, $1 million is a lot of fucking money.
No, it is, but that's being averaged out. I feel like I don't know where these numbers are.
Then you compare that. I saw Twitter posts.
Because I mean, like I saw
Maui. You see a bunch of poor people. It was poor people homes.
Yeah, yeah.
It obviously affected some of the richer people when it got seriously out of control. But most of the houses were destroyed. Were locals that have been there for years and years and years, and then you'd see them sell because. Honestly, that makes sense. You want to get the locals out to get more touristy people that can spend more money in. This is different because the people's houses were destroyed have money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think it is different in that sense.
The Eden Fire is now considered one of the deadliest fires in California history with 16 deaths reported so far. Yeah, there's...
So there's the Eaton Fire and the Palisades Fire?
I mean, this is all one fire, but it's just spreading everywhere. Mm-hmm. So, like, they're just referring to it differently. But they're catching people, like, posting pictures and videos of them, like, setting blazes to random shit and looting. It's not even a real place to live. Like, how could you actually live in the state?
I don't know.
Like, you, when your fire department is failing. Like, that's when you know, like, you're actually... fucked.
Yeah.
Like that's and
water running out in the hydrants. How does that even happen,
bro?
Like real shit. Let's take a step back. When have you ever heard of a fire hydrant having no water?
It's always like they pump shit water through them too. Like
I've never heard of that in my life,
dude. The Eaton Fire is now 33% contained as of a day ago, and across 14,117 acres. The fire area will remain under a red flag warning until early Wednesday, with strong winds expected to peak. So it's going to get worse. Like it's going to The Eden Fire, 14,000 acres. The Palisades Fire, 23,613 acres, only 14% contained.
And the Hearst Fire is way worse.
The Hearst Fire is also on the rise. 800 acres right now, only 5% contained. So that doesn't sound too good. Death toll from California fires is 21 to 16 in the Eaton Fire, five dead in the Palisades Fire. 7,000 structures damaged or destroyed, which is crazy. 26% of damage inspections for dwellings have been completed, which that's weird. That's a lot. 3,408 firefighting personnel is assigned as well. Crews making major progress in battle against Palisades and Eaton fires. Winds are set to return to make them worse. So that doesn't sound too encouraging at all. And the worst part about it is like this thing, like I'm on Twitter and it just doesn't stop loading in. Like there's constant feed about it.
So you could probably run through the numbers. On this, I don't know which exact episode it was, but I saw a clip from Joe Rogan interviewing some ex-fireman dude, and they were talking about LA and just like fires in general in that area. And the dude said, this was 2 years ago, mind you, he said, if there was a fire in LA with the right wind, there'd be nothing that LA could do to stop it. Absolutely nothing that humans could do to stop it. It would blaze all the way to the water, and there's nothing that we could do. And that's exactly what happened. That is exactly what... It started on land, blazed through LA to the water, and there's nothing we did about it. And there's nothing we can do about it. It's so crazy. It's like, how do we not see this coming or think that this was possible? And we had so little game plan. Are you kidding? Like, What?
I'm going to play a little clip from the LA fire chief. This is one of the leaders in LA that is responsible for your first responders. This is just a PSA for people out here.
I want to be very, very clear. Yes, we took a $17 million budget cut. And as we know, any budget cut would negatively impact our ability to carry out our mission. I want to also clarify that I'm not a politician. I'm a public servant. It's my job as the fire chief of Los Angeles City Fire Department to make sure that our firefighters have exactly what they need to do their jobs. And that's why I'm talking to you today. The Palisades Fire, everybody's seen it. It is absolutely one of the most horrific natural disasters in the history of Los Angeles. And even with an additional 100 engines, I tell you, we were not going to catch that fire. But with that being said, let me be clear. The $17 million budget cut and the elimination of our civilian positions like our mechanics did and has and will continue to severely impact our ability to repair our apparatus. So with that, we have over 100 fire apparatus out of service. And having these apparatus in the proper amount of mechanics would have helped. And so it did absolutely negatively impact. I want to also be clear that I have, over the last 3 years, been clear that the fire department needs help. We can no longer sustain where we are. We do not have enough firefighters. With that, I have also requested multiple budgets, interim budgets, to show how understaffed, under-resourced, and underfunded the LAFD is. So with that, also, we have clear data that shows the LAFD needs more help. We need 62 more fire stations. These reports also show that we've had a 55% increase in overall call volume since 2010. And guess what? We're doing it with less firefighters. I was also directed to develop a plan as part of a budget reduction exercise, and that could equate to $48.8 million. And I warned, I rang the bell that these additional cuts could be very, very devastating for our ability to provide public safety. That would have resulted to 15 fire stations closing down and potentially the elimination of over 300 firefighters. Again, I want to be clear that I submitted a very large budget that will actually allow our firefighters to do their jobs. And I tell you,
you have, yeah, so that's really all you need to hear.
But honestly, she said natural disaster. But almost every report that we're getting about this fire is that it was man-made.
Yeah, but like my biggest thing is like, why are you on CNN? And don't get me wrong, everything she said, like if it's true, like damn, like you weren't, she was not being helped at all. Yeah. Like how the fuck do you have the time to sit and do an interview? Like there's a fire that's on 14,000 acres.
Yeah.
There's a fire that's on 23,000 acres. I had a former friend that had 500, and that was a lot. 500 acres was a big thing. Oh my God, let's go to the property.
Yeah.
14,000? 14,000 acres. I don't think people like that aren't there can like fathom. Lakewood
Ranch.
Bro, that's yeah. That's Lakewood Ranch. If you know the area, shout out to the 941. But no, it's actually fucking crazy. So definitely a PSA for like anyone that's not caught up on the LA fires and shit. Definitely stay aware.
You can see it from space.
Yeah.
I saw a video.
Dude, the aerial shots, it looks like it's a fucking video game. Like, and I'm not trying to make it, like, lighthearted by when I say that, but, like, it just doesn't look real. It looks like something out of an apocalypse. It looks like fucking Chernobyl. It just looks like a complete dumpster fire.
Straight up unbelievable, bro.
Yeah, it is straight up unbelievable. Like, I don't really know how else to put that, but, like, if you know anyone affected or have friends or family in the area, definitely, you know, check in and, you know, stay aware on this. It's definitely a little crazy right now. In terms of kind of segueing into a lighter segue segment of the show, of the episode here, before we do, make sure you guys are liking, commenting, subscribing, giving us a rating on whatever platform you're listening to this episode on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, YouTube as well. We're also very prevalent every single day on social media, on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Threads, at TTime Reports. All support is greatly appreciated. Definitely check that stuff out if you guys are interested in joining the community. But I think the big thing that we can kind of talk about is LiAngelo Ball's $8 million guaranteed money deal with Def Jam Records. And the career and actual family total guaranteed earnings for the Ball family is $291 million. And it's only going to continue to skyrocket. And
so Death Row through...
Def Jam.
Def Jam.
Def Jam.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, Def Jam.
It's like Universal. It's Universal. Like, I think it's a Universal Studios or something. Like,
I thought Death Row through G3, dude. A fucking...
No, dude. If he... No, bro. No way. Like,
if
I'm
Jello
sorry.
Got an $8 million contract from Death Row Records, I'd lose my shit.
But, dude,
shit.
Honestly, people were kind of trolling him because, like, George Pickens' rookie contract, fully guaranteed, $4.331 million. And LiAngelo's getting $8 million guaranteed off of like an album deal. But he signed it. I think it's like a multi-year contract or something. But I know everyone's heard the song, but like...
I might swerve in that corner. Whoa, whoa.
Yeah, that's essentially...
It's baller, bro. Anybody who hasn't seen it, it's the best song you ever
heard. No, we talked about this off mic, though. Like, if this came out in like 2005, like, banger.
But I'm not going to lie. I actually was, you know, me and Brady were in the car, and it was about when it first dropped, and I was low-key, had me bumping, bro. I might swerve and neck on, whoa, whoa. It's honestly, it's low-key kind of fire.
It kind of makes you want to swerve and bend that corner.
Makes
whoa,
you want to bend that corner, whoa, whoa. Makes you want to fucking wear a backwards Orlando Pace jersey with a backwards hat and a tiny... Band-aid under my left eye.
True. It kind of makes me just want to wear a wife beater and like roll around with my windows down and just be like that guy in your local town. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know.
Bumping just, only that song.
Well, just on repeat, bro. You'd be an actual piece of fucking human shit. But also, like, if you were on 301 in Parrish or Ellington area last night and almost hit a fucking Christmas tree, I commend you if you dodged it. I had some Isaac Hajar reaction speed to that shit. But another big little headline coming out here. Michelle Obama has announced that she will be skipping Donald Trump's inauguration after skipping Jimmy Carter's funeral to allegedly avoid Trump. Her spokesperson declined to provide a reason for the snub. Former President Barack Obama is confirmed to attend the 60th inaugural ceremonies. Former First Lady Michelle Obama will not attend the upcoming inauguration. The office of Barack and Michelle Obama told the Associated Press. It's kind of sad. Like, it's really pathetic that you didn't even show up to a guy's funeral.
I think they're boys, like, behind the scenes, bro.
No, I mean, she is a boy, but, like,
no,
that's a different
thing.
No, I mean,
Obama
thing.
And Trump.
Oh, yeah, dude, they were, like, chilling, bro.
That's what I'm saying.
They
were
cracking
jokes,
dude, they were chilling,
at Jimmy Carter's funeral, bro.
Low-key, a weird time to do it, but...
Nah, I mean...
Yeah,
bro, he's
yeah,
sitting
yeah.
right next to you. It's a bad situation. Make it bad.
Yeah, no, it's a shit situation. Yeah, and
sure,
then also, bro. Like, Kamala sitting in front of them, like, in this
awkwardly...
Yeah, she's awkwardly,
pissed with her fucking dumbass husband.
Yeah, her cuck of a husband, like, the cuck guy. Like, if you ever see a cuck chair, Kamala's husband's probably sitting in it, you know?
Oh, shit.
Just guys like that, just very strange individuals. Trying to figure out, the Senate also did pass the that big bill. Now, I think it was actually the House of Representatives. One of the two passed a bill further along regarding men staying in men's sports and females staying in female sports towards youth. I think it's like 8 through 12 or something. Like, the fact that these are having to be laws is... pretty fucking crazy.
I don't know why that's even a thing, because I played with girls in my football.
No, like, if it's co-ed, like, yeah, that's fine. Like, if it's co-ed soccer, there's those co-ed, like, non-competitive leagues where everyone gets a fucking trophy.
No, that was pretty much, that was, like, Pop Warner. That was, like, the top.
There was girls that played Pop Warner?
In my team against it. It wasn't, like, all teams.
The only time.
2 years I had a girl on my team. She's a middle linebacker, bro. Fucking big ass.
My first game playing football, I played against a girl. She was the quarterback, but like that was it. I've never, like,
yeah, I played against a girl wide receiver before. That's
the,
it.
Okay, so it was the House. The House passed a bill to ban trans women from competing in women's sports at federally funded schools. The bill now moves to the Senate for a vote. So that's actually what I was talking about. My bad.
Yeah.
If
a girl wants to play with boys, I think that's completely fine.
Yeah. No. I mean. Yeah. Figured it was, I was wrong there.
Yeah,
glad I saw that.
Yeah, there's no advantage there.
During Pete Hegseth's Senate confirmation hearing today, Senator Tim Kaine shared his more outrage over Hegseth's previous relationships. He suggested he wouldn't vote for Hegseth's confirmation because of his infidelity. Just 6 months ago, Kane filmed a Giddy video, with second gentleman Doug Emhoff. Emhoff cheated on his wife by getting his children's nanny pregnant, and he's also accused of smacking one of his previous girlfriends in the face. Yeah. Like, okay.
So alpha shit.
Yeah, like, no, but the whole point of that little headline is, like, these are our politicians. Start electing these fucking people out, please. Like, get them out of here. Like, they're scumbags. Senator Gary Peters has a mic drop moment during the Senate confirmation hearing for Pete Hegseth. I don't think there's a board of directors in America that would hire you as a CEO. You talk about standards. Do you think the way to raise the minimum standards of the people who serve us is to lower the standards of the Secretary of Defense? People are very outraged over this Hegseth confirmation.
I mean,
which I can kind of get.
What is that?
He's being, I think he's going being appointed a Senate confirmation. He's a senator now, but like I think he's like a major Trump guy.
Oh, and so he was a part of Trump's campaign. Because you can leave, say you're a senator, you can leave.
Well, no, this guy I think was on Fox News.
Oh.
And he like became a senator, and like people were just outraged. But like, yeah, no, I mean it's about that time where the world's gonna be on fire because Trump's in office. So. Yeah.
Did you hear about? I mean, we're talking about the Senate, House of Representatives. TikTok ban is like coming through.
Oh yeah.
No, and honestly, like I don't know how I'm feeling about it because there is the party that says you know, free speech, and I completely get it. But then I also get the other side where it's like it's a complete Chinese corporation. And
I did hear that they are looking to sell.
Yeah, they are looking. Yeah, I could see that. I'm talking about the whole ban situation, yay or nay. I'm at such a crossroads with that.
Well, they already banned porn in Florida, so I mean they're gonna start doing these bans just based on what the people want, and I don't know. I kind of
that's not even free speech. So that's just good for you. you can't express yourself. On fucking Pornhub, I guess you can, but
I guess you can.
We're comparing this to a social media, you know.
Yeah, no. Could you see a guy like Elon Musk buying TikTok though?
Yeah, I could see anything happening with them. It's $1 billion, you know, absolute cash fucking pit, and America is at pretty much the center of it, you know. So I don't know what's gonna happen.
Pete Hegseth, getting back to him real quick, his opening statement, and I quote, "My only special interest is the warfighter, deterring wars, and if called upon, winning wars. This is not academic for me. This is how my life. I led then, and I will lead now. I bet all the military-industrial complex-sponsored senators were not happy to hear that." That wasn't a quote, but the two little sentences there were. But, He's going to be controversial. He's a younger guy, veteran. He's
Secretary of Defense?
I think he is. I think that's what his... Defense Secretary nominee. So I think he is actually going to be...
He's waiting for Trump to appoint somebody.
Well, I think this is... I think this was actually his confirmation. Because the inauguration is for, like in 6 days for Trump. So.
Yeah, it's like 21st, I think, right?
Yeah. On my fucking... I have jury duty that day, too, which is crazy. Like...
Yeah.
How the fuck did that happen, bro? Like, of course, I'm juror 77. You know what? Hey, I'm going to talk about the case. Hey, I'm going to discuss details about the case. I'm probably going to delete this shit, bro. Yeah, I'm probably going to delete all this. But, yeah, no, that pretty much wraps it up for this episode. It was kind of random, but... In totality, hopefully everyone out there in California in those fire-affected areas are okay.
Oh, wait, I got one more thing to talk about. Mom actually was talking about this to me, and it was talking about what I was telling you about what Joe Biden made a bill or a law most recently. His most recent law is there's a certain threshold of like offshore water where it's technically our water. It belongs to America. And that's, you know, that threshold, usually you really can't go much deeper than that. to put oil rigs. He made it so that it's pretty much outlawed to put any oil rigs out there anymore. Which you know, you put two and two together. Less oil production means higher oil. Higher oil means higher gas prices. Like, this dude is just fucking going out of here double middle fingered up.
Well, dude, like,
with his cock out.
He's just fucking everything up. And then it's just going to take Trump more time to reverse it and then get these companies back up and running. But it's just inevitably...
And then by the time he finally gets by that, about that time...
It's the end of his four years.
4 years up, and then we'll never have Trump but ever like, again.
It's just like to the point where when I hear shit like that, yeah, I see the cost of oil rising. But you know what I also see? I see five guys out of a job. Mm-hmm. Fucking thousands of guys out of a job. Thousands of girls out of a job. Whatever you want to say. All I'm going to say is I'd be very shocked if I find a female like oil rig crew member
no way.
Like that lives on station. Yeah. Like, bro, you would have to be a guy. You three have to be a degenerate, bro.
Like, you're doing 3 weeks at a time, like 60, 70 hour day.
Even those like deep sea welders, bro. Like, I'm not trying to be like that, but no woman would be dumb enough to do that. Like, that's just how it is. Like, and honestly, like, I see that, I hear that, I'm like, okay, that's thousands of jobs out the fucking window, just like the Keystone Pipeline.
Yeah.
But like, we already don't frack. Like Philadelphia, New York, those California, they don't frack.
Well, they were never fracking places.
But dude, New York has a ton of natural oil. Mm. But like, and same with Philadelphia.
But it's cold ground, so like, there's something called permafrost.
Mm. True.
It's like ground that you really can't get through.
No, but like, what's the... They're oil refining, I guess you can say, like whatever you want to say, like in terms of actual production of oil and fossil fuels, like Philadelphia under the ground, bro, like they geographically have a lot of natural resources.
Pennsylvania,
yeah, that's what I mean, like under Philly, but like, and the same thing with New York, the state, like they have tons of natural resources, but these green policies, these super green policies, just go and affect it all. And like you said, the cost of these things are going to go up tremendously. And not just oil for your car, but like these gas-powered vehicles, gas-powered generators, gas-powered tools for small businesses, so many different things, keeping your fucking lights on in some places. It's going to cost a lot more. Electricity is going to go up.
I will say this. In Texas, baby, they frack.
Yeah, they frack.
They frack away in Texas.
Yeah,
they Texas...
do. There's some parts of Florida
Louisiana, Florida. Let's say some parts of Florida. Cause
Central Florida.
We don't really have any... there's no... goddamn.
You go up to like...
Continental plate. There's no continental plate under Florida.
Except... So, and like if you go further up a little bit.
Just a little north. I think the panhandle and that kind of cut off. That's when it starts. But everything under there is all limestone.
Like Claremont.
It's just like, straight... Yeah, Claremont. I would even say... More towards like just the Tallahassee.
Yeah,
that's probably where it starts. Florida, that line,
the Florida Georgia line.
Yeah, and yeah, we're just on straight up limestone. So it's very hard to frack. If we could frack a lot more in Florida, we definitely would.
But I mean, like we already have a ton of oil production. We have tons of oil rigs out there.
Exactly. Off the coast. That's where we get our oil. Mexico.
Dude, the port of Tampa is fucking huge. Like people don't actually realize like how big the port is, but no, I'm glad you brought that up because like the Keystone Pipeline shut down. Mm-hmm. That was one of the first things to go, and now we're gonna get a bigger fuck you. Yeah,
that's crazy. It's first and last, like pretty much first and last major things that he's doing have to do with driving up the prices of gas and oil.
And just making that market just such more exclusive, like such a more exclusive thing. But also the big thing, like...
Time to import from China.
Exactly. Bro, our reserves have to be low or gone by now. But my biggest thing is like, we are, as a country and as a government, this government does more than any other nation combined to try and green up the environment.
Mm.
France, Italy, Africa... Greenland, yeah, but like I'm
super liberal.
But dude, I'm talking about like actual, like an dude. First Greenland has a population of like 28,000 fucking people.
It is 58,000. You know what's crazy?
That's crazy, bro.
58,000 for Greenland. It's
20,000 on our base up there. Like
47,000 in Bradenton.
Yeah, that's, dude, so Bradenton, Florida is the population of Greenland, which we're about to also inherit, which we didn't talk about that, too. Like, yeah. Buying Greenland is crazy.
It's and the possible.
And the Prime Minister came out and he said he's open to negotiation with Trump.
Yeah, he's open to negotiation.
Because they, oddly, are willing to separate from Denmark. Like, that's kind of crazy. Like, what's that going to cost? We already did that with the Caymans, so, I mean, we could
but honestly, pull a deal. Like, here's why, like, I don't like... my teacher, my econ teacher was actually talking about this today. Shout out Mr. Gordillo. So we're talking about the acquisition of Greenland and what will be possible. Bring it back to something I said earlier with permafrost. All of Greenland is permafrosted. You can't grow anything there. You can't farm animals there. You can't do shit in Greenland. Everything in Greenland is all imports. So there's a big money pit for the U.S. But I think what we could, what some like pros from this could be that China has so much leased property all over Greenland, and the permafrost, you can't fucking dig in it, but you drill in it for its extremely, you know, amazing resources that country is rich in.
Mm-hmm.
But again, they have so much property there that the Danish government has leased to China. We go in there, there's a massive, you know, mining hole. They can't mine. There's not a lot of shit to mine in China.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of possible resources from China gone right there.
True.
We go in there, we stop that shit.
Yeah.
Then we go in there, we put more bases close to Russia. Apparently, we're looking at sub-bases. That's what Trump was talking about, sub-bases. More like just boots on the ground type shit. You know, sensors, cameras to detect missiles coming across the Atlantic.
Yeah, security.
You know what I mean? So there's just so much strategical advantages from it, but I also feel like it's just a money pit.
You
know what I mean? Like the imports, because again, you can't grow.
There's just not much.
You can't create anything there.
That's true, but there's not many people there. Like,
no,
you're right, though. It's going to cost a lot of money to get shit there. But, like, if they get a military base going, hydroponics, like, bro, they can do some crazy stuff over there. With the money that they'll throw at it, especially if they're going to say fuck you to China and Russia, get more security. Like, I'm not saying that they're saying fuck you to China and Russia, but they are inadvertently saying that. But, yeah, no, there's a lot of interesting stuff going on and a lot more to talk about going forward. So stay tuned for more of these types of episodes. Caden, thanks for hopping on.
Sure.
Everyone out there, stay safe, stay awake. Make sure you guys tune in for more episodes going forward. This is Trevor and Caden with Tea Time Reports, signing off here. Take care, stay awake, and peace.